Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Anne again. This Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, this is the week where in a particular way we're called to rejoice. Even the vestments at Mass change. They're more colorful. Bright pink or something like that. They're much more colorful. And the point is that right here in the middle of Advent, even though it's a little skewed for us this year time-wise, that right here in the middle of Advent, we pause from the things that we're trying to focus on to prepare our hearts, to make our lives, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and to the extent that we can, our bodies, to be ready to worship Him with great joy, to welcome Him with joy, to really recognize that He is the Savior and that He really does save. That's not just a title. He's come to save us because without Him we perish. And so this is the Sunday that we're called to rejoice. And the first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 2 and 10 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor. I'm called to reach out with what I come to know of God in my life and share that with others. Bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoner, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. Is there anything you can do for others to bring Christ's love, to help to heal, to serve the poor, those who are bound in any way, to proclaim liberty to them, that God wants to heal them, or God wants to break the bondage of sin that's upon them and give them new life? He does. These are not pious words. They're reality, and I feel frustrated sometimes. I don't know how to adequately communicate to you that I'm talking about something real that God wants to do in our lives if we're willing to seek after Him, if we're willing to lay down all the things that we hold up to distract us or protect us from having to encounter God. The prophet Isaiah says, I rejoice heartily in the Lord, and my God is the joy of my soul, for He has clothed me with a robe of salvation. Have you ever thanked Him for what He's done for you? A robe of salvation, that by His death on the cross, His coming as man, His life here, His death on the cross, by His blood He purchased for me life eternal. Do I thank Him? Do I thank Him daily for that? He wrapped me in a mantle of justice. He is justice. Justice will be meted out to us no matter how much injustice we've experienced in this life. Rejoice in that. He's like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. He wants to reach out. He wants to draw His people to Himself. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. Cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving in your heart during this week. Thanksgiving for what God has given you. If you see your sin, rejoice that you see it and rejoice that you can repent for it and have it cast out of your life. Responsorial Psalm is Isaiah 61. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has looked upon His lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. This is the Magnificat of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. What has He done for you? He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. Have you known the Lord's mercy? He has it for you. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich He has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy. God always has mercy. Rejoice. Let this be a week of rejoicing for all that God has done for us. The second reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. Brothers and sisters, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. Test everything, retain what is good, refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will accomplish it in you. Give your life to him more deeply. Look at the good things he has done. Rejoice in them. Place before him your sin. Rejoice in his mercy and his forgiveness. Rejoice in it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 and 19 to 28, a man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" They were so curious about this man. "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it. He admitted, "I am not the Christ." See, they're thinking, is this the Savior? So they ask him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Well, who are you that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" Now, look at this carefully. What do you have to say for yourself?
"Well, I'm this, and I did this, and I'm Jesus' cousin, and you're going to meet him." And
he didn't put himself into the picture at all. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." In other words, "I'm here to announce the coming of the Messiah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." John knew who he was, and he lived the part of who he was. He didn't try to be anybody else. He didn't try to lean in a little bit to the honor of Christ and the way in which people related to Christ. He didn't do any of that. He just said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness," because you people are in a wilderness. You don't know the truth. "I am the voice. I'm preparing the way of the Lord." And you know, brothers and sisters, in a much smaller way, but each of us, I think, is called to be a John the Baptist to someone, to point the way to Jesus, to share what God has done for you, to speak of the faith and hope and trust that they can have in God. Many people are so battered, so injured, they can hardly hear. But quietly and simply, we can be John the Baptist to another. If you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet, why do you baptize? "And I baptize with water," said John, "but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." And this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's so much to learn. I've often wondered what it must have been like for John the Baptist to go before the Lord to prepare the way, then to find at the end of his life himself imprisoned, his head cut off by a very jealous, very frightened king, so to speak. But John was faithful. He's one of those that when we get to heaven and we really can see these people and talk to them, I really want to ask John, what was it like in the darkness when he was in that prison cell? What was it like for him? Did he know joy and hope and confidence? I'm sure he did. But I want to hear it from him. So take a look, brothers and sisters, at your environment right now. And as I said a little earlier on in speaking, perhaps you're called to be a John the Baptist. I want to reinforce that. I mean that seriously. Not that you have a commission to announce the coming of the Christ, but that you're willing to bring the good news of Jesus to others. You're willing to point the way to Jesus. That your life indicates that you're looking toward heaven. It doesn't mean, as somebody once said, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's not what I'm talking about. Your feet are firmly planted on this ground. But you have, by God's grace, a sense of what lies ahead. Heaven is real. Heaven is very real. Can you, in your life, in your daily circle of people, can you this week both rejoice in his goodness to you? Can you repent of your sins so that he can be more present in you and with you? And can you now reach out to another? Can you speak to others? Jesus came in the flesh to save us. Because we had all these prophets, and what did we do to the prophets? We beat them, we persecuted them, we killed them. And so Jesus himself comes to save us. Oh, brothers and sisters, heed the words of Jesus. Read these passages carefully all this week. And open your heart and say to the Lord, first, repent of your sin. Take a look at the biggest obstacle that you can see thus far that is keeping you back from following the Lord more closely. Do something about that during this latter part of Advent. Do something. Repent. Open your heart, and then allow God to work through you to bring the good news to others. You don't have to preach. You just have to share the kindness and the mercy of God that you've experienced. Reach out to another. People are more hungry than they ever have been because our world has grown more and more secular. You can be light in the darkness, as I so often say on my radio program, and I mean that. It's not just an image. So rejoice, sons and daughters of God. God bless you. For the four Sundays of Advent, I have put four meditations on a CD which is available for purchase. It's entitled Journey Through Advent. To order, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order the CD there. Again, the title Journey Through Advent. Or call 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone.